They're trying to push you away from us so that they can have you to themselves. Right? And now we'll go back to John Wycliffe. This was hundreds of years later. Again, John Wycliffe, born in the early 1300s, he was a Catholic priest. He was a theology professor at Oxford. And he was a forerunner of the Protestant Reformation. Now, the Protestant Reformation officially started, as I'm sure most of y'all know, with Martin Luther putting the 99 Theses on the door, right? That was 1517. So we're looking at, you know, this is in the late 1300s when this stuff started, okay? This guy who was a Catholic priest, because that was the church, right? And he had some issues, okay? And he began to stringently insist that faith should come from the Word of God rather than from church authority. Therefore, the people needed an English Bible. They needed a translation of Scripture that they could read themselves in their own language. And he was insistent about that, and it was causing problems. He became a leader of the Lollards. Anybody ever heard of a Lollard? Won't go too far into here, but it helps us where we're going. Okay, when you read about the Lollards, a preacher from Germany, who was named Walter Lollard, some people try to say that maybe that's where they got the name from, okay? I really don't think so. There's an old Dutch word, Lollert, that comes into the thing of Lollard, and it meant mumblers. They referred to it, wasn't a nice term, okay? They used it rather pejoratively, you know, like these poor preachers, the mumblers. The other translation of the word is a mutterer. And I tried to dig into it. I haven't found anything yet. I'm probably going to keep going. That word, mutterer, has been used through the centuries to describe. Anybody want to go? No, specifically with regard to the church. Obviously, that's true. People mutter to themselves, and if you do that enough, you might be crazy. Yeah, but throughout the centuries there, these mutterers, a lot of people were referred to muttering with the idea of speaking in tongues. Those charismatic people who muttered to themselves, praying in the Spirit, that word was used. And I'm thinking that's probably really what they were talking about, because when you try to study this stuff, they say that these people were charismatic, okay? But when they're saying that in the context of what they're writing, it makes it sound like they had a lot of charisma. They're not necessarily referring to the gifts of the Spirit like 1 Corinthians 12. However, I think that's probably what was going on, because these people, some of them, if they got persecuted, would recant, but a lot of them wouldn't. And the Lollards continued to grow. They wound up going up into the Netherlands. And stuff, again, because most of what we've been talking about was in England, right? So John Wesley became, some people say the leader, he was at least a leader of this movement. And again, one of the things about John Wesley, John Wycliffe, about not only the idea of getting the word to the people, He also questioned papal authority. In fact, he questioned the justification of the Pope. He actually said, I don't find this anywhere in Scripture. How are we getting this? And needless to say, that caused some trouble. Okay, he got defrocked. He got kicked out of his position at Oxford. And that wasn't all. He also had a problem with transubstantiation. And some of you scholars know transubstantiation is the belief mostly in the Catholic Church, when you take the Eucharist, when you take communion, that the bread and the wine becomes the actual body, flesh of Jesus, and that wine becomes his actual blood when you take communion. That was a very sacred thing, the doctrine for hundreds of years, and when people started challenging that, caused some trouble, right? So the Lollards were on board with that stuff. John Wycliffe continued on to come together with a manuscript of the Bible in English, handwritten, okay? There are approximately 250 total. Most of them are fragmented to some extent, okay? 250 still extant. However, and I read two different things. One said 20, one said 29. There's about, we'll say, 29 of these, quote, manuscripts that were actually handwritten English Bibles that date all the way back to just before the 1400s, all the way back to the end of the 14th century. So we got all this stuff pulled together. As things progressed toward the Reformation, last week we talked about baptism. One of the things we talked about, we talked about communion, we talked about baptism, we talked about salvation, right? Okay, pay attention. It's gonna come together for you. Another one of the things that caused a major problem with the reformers was baptism, specifically infant baptism. Because as they studied, they were saying that there's little to no evidence of this in the early church. When you study it out, in the 5th century, Augustine developed this doctrine. It had been given to Catholics, and then it also stayed around with the Protestants. They poured or sprinkled, and the idea was it was designed to initiate someone into the church, specifically as it developed into that church. You got it? In fact, the Episcopalians, for instance, developed the idea as Protestants, okay? They actually, you had to sponsor